Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that as we open up your word tonight, that as we look to you, that this time would be a building. It would be a growing of our faith, Lord, a growing of our daily walk with you. God, and that you would speak to us through your word. Father, we pray for clarity tonight as I try to fumble through things. Lord, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you that you're here. And even though we all have our flaws, Lord, we read your word. And your promise is your word will not return void. Thank you for that, God. So be glorified as we look to you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. That's the cool thing about being up here. You can kind of like... That's why I hide behind my guitar so that I don't, you know, don't do that. I have more control over my hands. Well, obviously I'm not Pastor Mike, and those are some big shoes to fill, and I wouldn't even try. So, but Pastor Mike asked me to fill in for him while he was on vacation, getting some much needed rest and relaxation and just time with his family. We pray that he's being blessed. After he asked me to speak, it's always the, you know, when you get to talk every once in a while, right? You get to teach every once in a while. It's like, what do you teach on? You know, you're not going through something consistently, so you're here and you're there and you're everywhere. So luckily I have an awesome wife, and as soon as Pastor Mike asked me, what should you teach on? She says, you should talk about faith. And I'm like, okay, cool. She just decided my whole message tonight. So tonight we are going to talk about faith. What is faith? What should our faith look like? And what should we have faith in? Well, when we look at what faith is to believe in someone or something, to fully trust that someone or something, to be confident so much in that someone or something that the thought of what that someone or something does or is for basically escapes us, right? You guys had faith in the chair tonight. You didn't question the chair. I wonder if I sit in that, is it going to break or fall apart? Or because there was no doubt in our mind as we sat down in the chair. That's what the chair's for. It's going to hold me up. And we just sat down in the chair. That is faith. So much faith in the chair example that everything else becomes non-essential, right? We don't even think about it. It's bygones. As Christians, we are called to have faith. We're called to grow our faith. We're called to live within our faith. So faith, as we read in the Bible, is a pretty important thing. Just as we looked at in Jude, he says, but you, beloved, building yourself upon your most holy faith. So we're supposed to have faith be our foundation, right? Faith is our foundation. But to have that foundation, we have to understand where faith, what faith is, where it comes from, and why we need it. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, It is the gift of God. So now we've taken that a step further. We understand that our faith, right, is not something that I can muster up myself, but it's something that God says, hey, look it, I'm going to give you this faith. He's going to give that to us. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith, obviously, now has to be our foundation, but it has to be something that we have current with us in order to please God. I mean, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but that's our whole desire in life, is to please our Lord, right? In whatever we do. So our faith is where it starts, when we start pleasing the Lord. Our desire to please the Father, to praise Him, plainly we need our faith to increase, right? So the disciples prayed, or they asked Jesus in Luke 17, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus' reply to them was, hey, you know what? If you had enough faith, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, have you guys ever seen a mustard seed? My mom used to have all sorts of like spices that she never used, right? You have one of those spice cabinets where it's like stacked full of stuff that just has dust. How does dust get in the spice cabinet, right? My mom had mustard seed in the spice cabinet. And I'm like, what is that for? But it got to see it. And so it's tiny. I mean, it's just tiny. And if you see a mustard plant, how big it gets, right? You're like, wow, that grows from that one little tiny thing. But Jesus said to his disciples, if you had faith as small as that little tiny mustard seed, you could tell to this mulberry bush right here, hey, uproot and go be planted over here in the ocean. And your faith would cause that bush to go up, be uprooted, and go over into the ocean and be planted. I've never uprooted a bush, a blade of grass, or anything with my faith. But apparently, we can. Chuck Smith talks about faith specifically to the mustard seed. He says, if they had faith as a grain of mustard seed, imagine what you could do if you had faith like an avocado seed. Right? You know? So faith is a powerful, powerful thing, gift from God. Chuck Smith also said, he talked a lot in different books, and I read one of his books, and he talked about there's different types of faith that we have. Right? We have saving faith. We have healing faith. We have active faith. We have passive faith. Right? Then there's a type of faith that kind of culminates all of those things together. And he says, there's another kind of faith that is the faith that trusts in the Word and in the promises of God. This is the faith that God's people have in God, in the Word of God, that causes us to commit ourselves to the promises of God. We are believing the promises of God, being assured by the promises of God, and rejoicing in the promises of God. Because where is our faith? In the promises of God, right? So, to fully try to get a little bit of the concept of what faith is, I came up with... you know me, I got to put things together. So I came up with an acronym for faith, right? It's the easiest way for me. Faith, F, following what we don't see. A, accepting what is not in our control. I, intelligent understanding of God's Word. T is trust God's Word to be true. And H is hearing God's Word. So the first of those is following what we don't see. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so following what we do not see. We remember David, right? David and Goliath, all the different things. Well, he wrote Psalm 23, right? And in Psalm 23, he states, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me," right? Did David actually see God's rod? Did David actually see God's staff? Right? Question. Did David actually see God? The answer to all those is obviously no. Can we see God? Can we see God's hand moving? We can see the effect of God, right? We can see things after they happen, right? But David saw, as he looked and wrote Psalm 23, going through the valley of the shadow of death, he saw the history of God, right? The history. And I love the history of God because, man, there's those times in your life where you're like stressed out and you're just, something's just bugging you and you have no clue how you're going to get through whatever trial or tribulation that you're going through, right? It's just this horrible time. And then a little while later, months later, maybe a year later, two years later, 3 years, it doesn't matter. You go, oh, wait a minute. And you look back and you see God's hand working all the details out. Now, in the circumstances, in the times when you're stressed out, you didn't see any of that stuff. You're like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to die here. I mean, we see that throughout the Psalms, right? David's like, my bones are drying up. And then at the end of the Psalm, but you, Lord, you saved me. And then just everything changes, right? We see the history of God. I see the history of God in my life all the time. But on the other hand, 1 John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, right? John's talking about, his whole thing is talking about Jesus, right? We're not like the disciples. We didn't get to walk with him. We didn't get to talk with him, right? We have never actually seen God, but we see the attributes, right, of God. We see the creativity of God in the mountains, right? We're so blessed to live up here to where you go one direction and it's completely different nature than if you were to travel the other direction and it's completely new and different. I mean, we have just the spectrum of creativity that's surrounding us. We've experienced the healing of God. We've experienced the forgiveness of God. All of those things are unseen, but yet we still see them, right? So following what we do not see, David loved the fact that even though he couldn't see God, he knew that in his deepest despair, his deepest whatever he was going through, that God would always cover, he would always heal, and he would always provide. Jesus said that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So if we can't see God, because Jesus says, hey, I'm the only one. Me, I'm the coolest. Okay. If we can't see God, you understand how important faith in something that we cannot see is to our Christian life. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So when we look at that, we see that this faith in stuff that's invisible, right? In God who is here among us, but we can't see him. We see that our walk is a verb. It's an action word, right? Pastor Mike was talking about that, I think, last Wednesday, right? Our walk has to be forward moving. I think the last time that I talked, we were talking about the Christian walk, and I came up with another acronym for WALK or something like that. But it has to be a forward moving thing. That's our faith. Warren Wiersbe talks about living by faith and not by sight. He says, and if you guys never read Warren Wiersbe, I would totally recommend anything by him. Totally deep, deep, awesome guy, but he writes it in a way that it's so deep, yet you go, oh. So if I can read something and go, oh, I get it, then I know you guys can probably read it and go, oh, wow, this is really easy. But anyway, he's talking, and in one of his books called Be Confident, Live by Faith, Not by Sight, he says, the first principle of great faith is I must remember that God is with me. This is the truth that we all know but need to be reminded of time and time again. So we see that our faith has to be in something that we cannot see, but that we need to be reminded of because we know that God is with us, right? So our faith lies in the promise that God gives us that, hey, at the end, I'm going to work out all the details. You guys don't have to worry about anything, right? It says in 1 John 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So that's it. Our faith is Jesus, right? Can't see him, but we know he's there. We know he's right here with us. And we live in that promise because we know the outcome is we win. Right? Not because we're awesome, but because he is awesome. We win. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If that doesn't say, hey, you guys win, I don't know what else does. The second part for the acronym faith is accepting what is not in our control. I like to be in control. My wife lets me think that I'm in control, which makes me happy. Okay? Which makes our family life awesome, right? But with God, allowing him to be in control, right, is a better thing than me wanting to be in control. Okay? Because it's bad when I'm in control. Allowing God to be in control means that we need to surrender. Right? We have to surrender ourselves to his ways. And most of the time, like we talked about a few minutes ago, being in that trial, we don't understand his ways until we're way over here on the other side and we look back at the history of God and go, oh, I get it, right? Isaiah says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. I could stop there. Yeah, pretty much. Given, you know, I mean, you don't need to go any farther than that. But it goes on, it says, my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So surrendering to the Lord means, wow, if this seems weird, but God says to do this, I'm going to do it. Even though it sounds really weird. I mean, you look at Joshua. Take Joshua and the battle of Jericho, right? Here's Joshua and his army, and they go up and they're looking at Jericho, and this whole town is surrounded by this huge wall, impenetrable wall, right? And God says to him, he says, dude, check it. This wall, you're going to get destroyed if you try to go up in this wall. So you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it, right? You guys ever seen the VeggieTale movie? With the where they're marching around and they're throwing slushies at them. I can always picture Joshua getting slushies thrown at him. But Joshua's faith, right, in the Lord said, okay, you're right. we're going to do whatever you say, Lord, even though it sounds weird. And God says, okay, here, check this out. You're going to march around the whole wall one time. Don't say anything. Be really quiet. Just march around, be done, walk away. And everybody on the wall is going to go, what? He says, you're going to do this for 6 days. Walk around one time and then go away. Walk around one time, go away. On the seventh day, we're going to change it up. We're going to make them think that you're really crazy. Okay? You're going to walk around seven times. And at the end of that seventh time, we're going to blow the horns, right? And you guys are going to shout with all your might. And he says, I am going to make this wall come down, right? This huge wall that's impenetrable. Here's the part I love about this story, right? We look before this actually happened. They marched around, right? And then it's time for them to blow the horns. And Joshua turns to everybody and his faith shouts out. I'm going to read it to you. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout for the Lord. Listen to this. For the Lord has given you the city. The walls hadn't come down yet, right? They just started blowing the horns. There's the walls turning around. But Joshua's faith goes, hey, God's already done this. We got this, right? Man, that faith is so far beyond mine. Most of the time, you know what I mean? That just always blows my mind when you see these men that were so close to God and their faith was way before anything would even happen. And that, I mean, Joshua is right there. Another example of faith, and this probably more describes where my faith is, we look at in Luke 8. Jesus is with his disciples and he's walking around, they're teaching, and he says, hey, check it out. I'm paraphrasing too. So there's a boat. Let's jump in the boat. We're going to go over to the other side, right? And his disciples are, oh, cool, let's jump in the boat. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, how many of them were fishermen, right? So they can handle stormy seas, they can handle boats, they, you know, all that stuff, right? So they all jump in the boat and they're going. Jesus falls asleep and all of a sudden a storm comes up. And the storm, the words that are used is raging, raging. And we're talking, you know, if you have somebody that's a sailor, right, that knows how to handle a boat, a storm is not going to scare them. They're going to go, okay, we're just going to maneuver and navigate and do this thing. We're going to get right through it, right? It's wind, it's rain, no big deal. But this storm must have been so different because all of the disciples, all of a sudden, were screaming and they're like, we're going to die. We're totally going to die. Right? So they wake up. They go get Jesus and they wake him up. Let me read it. And he says, and they came to him and awoke him saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. Right? They had no thought. They knew it. They knew everything. We're perishing. And I can just see this storm in the water and the disciples in this panic screaming. I mean, you've seen movies and how dramatic it can be. And I'm sure the music was really dramatic as it was playing as they were going across. You know what I mean? In my mind, it was. So Jesus arose and check this out very calmly. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased and they were calm. Like no big deal. Right? Jesus just kind of woke up and said, hey, stop. Boop, done. Then he turns to the disciples. And here's the stinger. Oh, boy. Here's what stings. He looks at them and he says, where is your faith? Wow. Had they not been walking with Jesus, that wouldn't have stung so much. But they had been walking with Jesus. And let me check this. Let me show you this. They'd been walking with Jesus and they had seen him turn water into wine, heal an official's son, drive out an evil spirit. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, right? He healed who knows how many sick one evening when they were all together. They saw him with the first miraculous catch of fish, right? Lord, I haven't caught anything. Oh, cast your net over here. And the boat almost sank because of all the fish, right? They saw Jesus cleanse a man of leprosy. They saw him heal the centurion's servant. He healed a paralytic. He healed a man with a withered hand and raised the widow's son from death. And that's only part of it. And then we get to the storm. Those are all the things that the disciples saw. And then we have this storm. Why do you think Jesus, why Jesus went, dude, you saw all that stuff. Where's your faith? Right? How many times do we put ourselves in the exact same position, though? How many times have we seen God work something out, and then as soon as the next trial comes along, oh, Lord, I'm perishing. That's pretty rough. But it's a good example for us to trust the Lord. The next thing is intelligent understanding of God's word. Don Stewart, I don't know if you guys know who Don Stewart is. He's with Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and he does Pastor's Perspective. He's an awesome guy. But he said one time, Christian faith is not a blind leap into the dark. It is intelligent faith based upon the testimony of God's word. The Bible commands believers to know what they believe and why they believe it. This comes about by testing things. So our faith has to be an intelligent thing. We can't just go, oh, yeah, I believe, right? Because do we really? What do we believe in if we don't know the truth behind it? If we don't know the foundation of it? First Thessalonians says, test all things and hold fast to what is good. We must have an intelligent understanding of God's word, who God is, who Jesus is, who we are in Christ, right? We have to understand all of those things to have that faith, right? Our faith has to be an intellectual thing. It can't just be this emotion. It has to be based on that. Basically, to be a Christian, we must believe so intellectually that the incomprehensible, right? I mean, how many things does Jesus do and tell us in the Bible that we go, huh? The incomprehensible becomes comprehensible. The understanding, ununderstandable, I'm going to make up words here, becomes understandable. Okay? Thomas needed that type of faith, right? He says, hey, man, I'm not going to believe. I can't believe until this is uncomprehendable that Jesus is alive again. I saw him crucified. I saw him die, right? I won't believe until I can stick my finger, right, in his side and stick my finger in his hands, right? Thomas needed something tangible, right? So Jesus, knowing this, right, knowing each of us where our faith is, he appears to Thomas and he says, reach your finger here, right? Look at my hands. Reach your hand into my side. Put it inside. That's kind of gross, but I mean, think about it. He was giving Thomas exactly what he needed. But at that point, we all know Thomas's reply. He didn't go, okay, let me see, and poke around a little bit. He saw Jesus and goes, my Lord, my God, right? Not only just my Lord, right? Like higher leader, everything like that, but my God. No, you're my Lord. You're above me, but you're so far above me. And I see now that you are God in human flesh. And that's an awakening, right? We need to be at that point. Not the point where we're questioning, I need this, Lord, I need this. But at that point where Thomas is at that awakening, that eye-opening experience. Oh, my Lord, my God. An intelligent understanding of who Jesus is. How do we get there? I'm glad you asked. We ask. Okay, just like you asked me. All right, how do we get there? We ask God. God says, hey, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask me, right? If any of you lacks wisdom and understanding this, ask me and I'll give it to you, right? Marvin taught Sunday, a lot of you guys were here, he taught Sunday about wisdom. That's what intelligent faith is wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, not because we're studious little theologian, Christian scholars, and we know this, but because it's a gift from God. God gives us the ability to have understanding. We look at an intelligent understanding of the priority of everything and having the faith based on that intelligent understanding. We look at the centurion, right? We're kind of going back in Jesus' timeline, but the centurion in Capernaum, right? Jesus was traveling through teaching, and the centurion comes up to Jesus and says, "Hey, my servant is lying home paralyzed in dreadful torment." I don't know what it is at this point. You know, I mean, all we know that it's a centurion. I'm sure he had lots of servants, but this centurion had a heart for this servant, because a lot of times they would just go, "Oh, I can get another one," cast him off. But this centurion, he had a heart for his servant, right? So he comes to Jesus and says, doesn't even really ask anything. He just says, my servant is in dreadful torment, lying at home paralyzed. And Jesus says to him, "Oh, I'll come heal him," right? It's that simple. Just like that. Jesus says, "Hey, oh, cool. I'll come heal him," right? No big deal. But here's where intelligent understanding goes. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel." That's great faith. Yeah. Understanding who Jesus is and who we are in perspective and going, "Whoa, no. I'm not even worthy of you coming to my house. And I know your power. I know that you can just say the word. Matter of fact, you don't even need to say the word. Just think the thought, Jesus, and my servant is going to be healed." That's intelligence. That's understanding, right? That only came to that centurion. How? Not because he was following Jesus, obviously, right? But it came to him through the Spirit. Right? Through God's Holy Spirit. Obviously came, and the centurion goes, "Whoa, I know who Jesus is." He was revealed, you know, God revealed to the centurion who Jesus was, what he could do, and totally changed this guy's life. Oswald Chambers, on the same fact, but not with the centurion, in his devotion, "My Utmost for His Highest," wrote, talking about Abraham, right? He says, "The great point of Abraham's faith in God was that he was prepared to do anything for God. He was there to obey God no matter what." Abraham knew where God was, and he knew where he was. The centurion knew where Jesus was, and he knew where he was, right? We need to understand where God is and where we are. Right. And that chasm in between the difference. But that intelligent understanding of knowing how God will take care of us through his word, through his promises, is so vitally important to our faith. Abraham knew, we talked about God's quirky ways of showing, you know, things. "Hey, put your hand in your vest and pull it out, and it's got leprosy on it." You know, tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Abraham knew so much that God was going to protect him. And he believed in his promises so much that even when God said, hey, guess what? We're going to go build an altar. We're going to tie up your kid and we're going to put him on top of the altar. And you're going to take this knife and you're going to plunge it into his heart. Again, I'm paraphrasing. That Abraham goes, okay. Because he knew. He knew God that God would provide something. And if he didn't, he knew that God's plan had something else in line that Abraham didn't get it, right? He understood who God was and that we had to submit to God's will. The T in faith is trust God's word to be true. Now, there's a difference between trusting your dad to catch you as you jump off the side of the pool, right? Come here, little Johnny. Come on, jump off. I'll catch you, right? There's a difference between that and your older brother, okay? If your older brother's going, come on, jump off the pool. I'll catch you. Don't believe him, okay? It's not good. But there's joy in trusting your dad. Because you know your dad's going to be there. You know your dad's going to catch you, right? Our Abba Father, God, right, is always going to be there to catch us, right? It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7. So we have to trust God's word to be true, right? We can't look to anything other than God's word and trust in anything other than God's word, right? So if you're taking advice from the latest thing on Oprah, right? You're not taking advice from the Lord, okay? So, and I hope you guys aren't watching Oprah, so... Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on Oprah's understanding. Again, I'm paraphrasing. Okay, you get the picture, right? The world, God. The world, God. We have to trust God. We have to trust God's word for our faith to be complete, right? We look at that in Psalm 1. Of all the benefits for trusting God's word, right, are all right there. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers, right? That's in the Psalm 1, okay? I love that. How much stuff is right there in trusting God's word? Happy, right? There's joy and contentment in trusting God's word, right? Solid. You're rooted and we're looking at this tree right here, right? You're rooted. You're not tossed about by winds or weather or any trying times, right? You're sitting by that water, so you're well nourished, right? You're spiritually fed by rivers, for us, rivers of living water, right? You're fruitful, right? Benefiting others, blessing others. You're full of life. It says your leaf won't wither. Your life is full and fulfilling, and anything you do prospers. Now, we're not one of those name it, claim it prosperity churches, okay? But when we look at this, it says anything that you do prospers. How is that possible? Because when we're trusting in God's word and when we're living according to God's word, the things that we're doing are the things of God. And so those things are definitely going to prosper. In contrast, it says the ungodly are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Wow, man, there's so much more joy, so much more profit, so much more benefit for us to trust God's word. Well, how much of God's word can we trust? Right? How much of it does it apply to us today? They didn't drive cars back then. They didn't work at prisons. Right? They didn't. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay. Yeah, I guess it applies to us today, right? We just have to focus. We have to intelligently break it apart and understand what it is in our life and how it applies. Trusting God's word is so beneficial for us. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Psalms 34:8. So trust God, trust his word, trust that it's true, and his word to us is life. Jesus said in John 5:25, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Are we trusting that we're going to be those ones that are going to hear God? Because that leads us into our last section on faith, right? Is to hear God's word. See, there's a difference between listening and hearing. I mean, I listen to my wife all the time, right? Does that mean I'm hearing? And my wife's probably shaking her head going, no. And I agree, you're right, no. Did you guys ever watch Duck Dynasty? Don't raise your hand. There's this one episode where Phil, my wife's in the back going like this. There's this one episode where Phil and, I don't even know what his wife's name is, his wife, are out fishing. What's his wife's name?
Miss K.
Phil and Miss K are out fishing, right? And they're sitting there, and if you've ever watched the show, they're drinking iced tea, and they're just, he's just as mellow as can be, right? And they got their poles out, and she's just, "Did you know about this?" And blah, blah, blah. And you knew what they said about this. And I wonder what kind of tree that is. That's not like the other tree. And he's going, mm-hmm, yep, okay, mm-hmm, yeah. Yep, right? He's listening, but he's not hearing anything that his wife is saying. That's not the type of hearing that we're talking about here tonight, okay? We're just going to get that straight. The word that we have in the Bible for hearing God's word, right? Hearing is akouo, which means, check this out, this is really awesome. One word, hearing, means to attend to, right? Pay attention, right? If we're hearing, we're attending to it. We're paying attention to it. Second part of it means to consider what is or what has been said. So not only are we paying attention to it, but then after that, we're thinking about it. Okay, this was said. Okay, well, then they said this, but how did we... So we start thinking about it, right? Third thing is to understand. Sorry, honey, I fail at this one. Do you really get it? Do you really get what I'm saying? Most of the time, my answer is, uh-huh. Yeah. You're right. I mean, that's what our whole thing is going to be, and it's shameful, but yes. Right? So to understand, that's part of hearing. The fourth part is to perceive the sense of what is being said. Can you identify with what's being said? Okay? There's a lot to hearing, and I need to work on that. Mike said last Wednesday, obviously, I just mentioned this a little bit ago, hearing is the kind of hearing that causes action. Right? The action of hearing is doing what you hear. And I wrote that down as fast as I could when he wrote that, because I knew I was going to be talking on faith, and H was part of my thing, and I'd already done this part, and I'm like, oh, I got a Pastor Mike quote. Hearing is the kind of hearing that causes action. The action of hearing is doing what you hear. That's what our Christian life needs to be, right? Jesus says in Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Okay, is anybody going to get that? Right? That's not what we're talking about. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, action, right? Then here comes the benefit. I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Action. Hearing God's word causes action. Our faith has to consist of hearing what God is. What God is saying to us, right? Jesus said, man, all over the place, he who has an ear, let him hear. It's more than just having ears. They're great. They're awesome. You can dangle stuff off of them, and without them, I'm sure I would look pretty funny, okay? But there's more to hearing than just having ears. It's the action that comes on the other side of what we hear. It's a heart issue, right? It's a mind issue, that intellectual understanding. It's that heart issue of being willing and surrendering, right? The Spirit said in Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. Hearing, it's a heart issue. It's not an ear issue. It's not wax. It's not plugs. It's a heart issue, right? Six times in Revelation, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear. When we look at hearing, remember, attend to, consider, understand, perceive, right? He who has an ear, all of those. Warren Wiersbe, I'm going to quote him again, talks about this. He says, if we do not listen to God's word and really hear it, we will start to drift. Neglect leads to drifting in things material and physical as well as spiritual. As we drift from the word, we start to doubt the word. Because faith comes by hearing the word, we start to get hard hearts, and this leads to spiritual sluggishness, which produces dullness towards the word. We become dull of hearing, lazy listeners. That's huge. I don't want to be in that spot. I don't want to be in the spot where God's saying, hey. And I'm like, hold on, I'm kind of tired. I'll get to the door in just a second. Hey, I'm knocking. There's all this benefit waiting, and all you have to do is get up, walk across the room, open the door. Hey, I don't want to be in that spot that my sluggishness is causing me not to have this amazing fellowship with God. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, it says in Romans. True saving faith results in that obedience. Obedience results in godly living, and godly living results in blessings, right? It says, what does our faith, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith with my works. O foolish man, that faith without works is dead. Our faith must have action. Hearing God's word has to have action. Man, but the benefits when we actually do hear God's word. The last scripture I'm going to leave you with tonight Jeremiah 17, verse 8. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and that will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I want to be that tree. I want that tree to represent my life. In those seasons of drought, who cares? God's with me, right? When the storm comes, who cares? God's with me, right? When I'm stressed out of my mind, who cares? God's with me. Then I won't be stressed, right? Obviously. But I want that tree to be represented in my life. Rooted, nourished, green, blessing others, blessing my family, right? Because I'm hearing God's word. So, follow what we don't see. Accept what is not in our control. Intelligently understand and discern God's word. Trust God's word to be true. And most importantly, hear God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that every time that we read it, every time that we hear it, Lord, that we are truly hearing your word. Father, we have faith in you. Lord, we believe, but we pray also, help our unbelief. Increase our faith. Lord, that no matter the circumstance, no matter what's going on, Lord, we always look to you. Lord, thank you for this gift, the gift of faith that is so precious, Lord, and it allows us so much blessing. Lord, our faith, our hope is in you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.